Welcome back to the Georgia show. I was going to say Georgia 24 show, but we're not doing that anymore. We have a lot to cover. We're going to go international, domestic, national, and also down into Georgia. So we've got a lot going on in the show today. I want to thank all of our audience for supporting all our sponsors. I want to thank all of our syndication outlets who bring the show everywhere. There's going to be more of that coming, which we've said. I think you're going to see this week, really probably tomorrow, maybe a day after that, some new additions to the Georgia Record. We're going to continue to upgrade that and change it and bring more content to you on a really broad basis in Georgia. So that's going to be a focus of 25. 24 and 23 were really about the election. Since we're past that now, we want to focus on a wider coverage of Georgia. So look forward to that. And thank you for supporting our sponsors. As I said, it's really important. We're going to talk about a few of those during the day, but or during the show. But please support our no-ad subscriptions. We talk about that every time. We're having a lot of success with that, and we want to keep that going because it gives us revenue that we can count on a daily or monthly basis, and it really helps us bring you the kind of content that CDM is known for. So top right corner, subscribe to no ads, or you can click on that image on the Georgia Record and we'll get you there. We get a lot of good comments on that. People get to see all kind of content, which is growing across the network, and it's going to continue to grow. We put out a lot, and it's a busy, busy business here, and we're going to get busier in 25 as we continue to save the Republic. So thank you, Bill. Bill, thanks for joining me today. You're putting the show together behind the scenes, also during Wednesday night and on Saturdays when you do run a kind of a recap. But tell us what's on the menu today.
Well, we got a full plate. We're going to talk about the two crashes that happened with planes, both in D.C. and in Philadelphia. Both have oddities that no one can quite explain yet, and we'll talk a little bit about those. Not going to get to conclusions yet, but boy, the questions are swirling around around both of these. We're going to talk about some of Trump's latest actions and the actual steps that he's taken, some of the implications for that, and what we can probably look forward to, because you can see even folks in the consulting and financial communities are making adjustments to their offerings to accommodate what Trump seems to be pushing toward. We're going to talk about.
Do you mean the Trump efforts on truthsocial.fi, I think it's called? Is that what you're talking about?
No, no. There's actually traditional financial partners that are beginning to write papers, position and consulting papers on such things as handling tariffs, because it's very clear now and since Trump's election that we are going to be seeing more tariffs. So as an example, McKinsey and Company has come out with a paper to begin that process for their clients. We're gonna look at some things happening here in Georgia, both in reaction to some of Trump's deportation steps, but also some odd things coming out of the legislature. Some good, some perhaps not so good, and we'll take a look at those and what they may mean. I suspect that those two probably have some months of work in ahead as we look at what Georgia's doing. Georgia continues to be something of the epicenter, does it not?
Does it not? Yes. And we're going to continue to cover it and bring to light things that may be uncomfortable and make some people angry. But we think transparency is the way forward and free media and media accountability. So we're going to continue to push that. And on that vein, CDM.press is doing the same thing globally. So put CDM.press in your scan. The Georgia Record, if you're into Georgia politics and what's happening in the great state of Georgia, all of our media on CDTV, that's going to be growing. Sign up for our Rumble channel, CDM1, and all of our X channels as well are growing. So please help us share articles, spread the word, subscribe to everything so you get notified. That's really important so you can, you know that something's happening, because we're not always on a regular schedule. We are on this show and on Output and a few others, but the other shows are more as we can when our bandwidth permits and our content permits. So please sign up for subscriptions so you can get those notifications. With that, I think why don't we jump into our first topic, Bill, the DC crash.
Okay.
You know, I have some a few thousand hours in some high performance rotary wing aircraft flying for a tier one special operations unit. And, you know, mid-air collisions, this is just my gut feel, and I wrote an article on this, but mid-air collisions do happen. Typically, though, they're on a no moon night with night vision goggles where you're very close to someone else and you don't have good visibility, or you're flying very close formation, or you're in bad visibility due to weather conditions or snow or sand in the desert, or in some aircraft near you makes a, you know, a braking turn quickly and you just can't react in time. All those things are usually what cause mid-air collisions, but also when one aircraft is rising and another one's coming down, so it restricts your point of view, field of view. And that may have been what happened in DC, but to me, you look at this, I'm just going to show you this, this video real quick, and then we'll just talk about it. This is a short video of the crash itself in DC, which I find enlightening. Actually, I got to hit it on another channel. Hold on. So you can see there that both aircraft are approximately at the same altitude, although the jet was coming in to land. But due to it being in landing configuration, it had a massive landing light on. It had all of its navigation lights in full display. And so the helicopter's field of view would have seen this massive amount of lights right in front of it, yet it keeps going on a very steady pattern directly for the aircraft. You know, there's been supposition that they were told to keep separation from another aircraft and they were looking over here. That's possible. But to me, I think the question at least needs to be raised, was this some kind of suicide mission? Now, we've looked at, you know, and another reason I'm saying this is the background of the pilot, the female, actually has come out. And, you know, I think it's very obvious she was a lesbian. She was very active in the Biden White House with events. And they scrubbed her social media. And that's possibly why the delay in announcing her name, so that DOD or the family or whoever could get rid of a lot of stuff online before they announced her name. We're going to investigate that directly with the DOD. We're going to contact them and ask them on armedforces.press exactly, was DOD involved in scrubbing the social media? Because that's a real problem. But I find, Bill, this is very suspect. And in my view, it at least needs to be investigated. Her background, any comments she made, anti-Trump, being upset with developments, removing DEI, removing transgender from the military, et cetera. What say you?
When you see these anomalies, you can't overlook them. They mean something. Even Trump's one of his latest comments on it seems to foreshadow that there's more to the story. And I bet there are people that do know a lot more than the public does at the moment. Here's something, and you had actually called this out this morning. Trump said, and I'll let you cover this. So,
yeah, so Trump is saying, essentially, in my view, he's asking the same question I just did, mm-hmm. saying, this was 2 days ago, the Black Hawk helicopter was flying too high by a lot. It was far above the 200-foot limit. That's not really too complicated to understand, is it? Meaning, what's not too complicated to understand? That obviously it was the Black Hawk's fault, but why was it way above its altitude? And, you know, we're investigating. There's a lot of tapes out there. We're going to dig into the flight tracking and find out if a lot of this is really true, that there were other aircraft that this aircraft tried to possibly impact with, and that the altitude at the end of the helicopter rose substantially in a short period of time, which would indicate you're trying to connect with another aircraft. But we're going to investigate all that. We're not ready to make any conclusions there, but I think the president obviously knows something, Bill, and, you know, we want to get down to the brass tacks of really what happened, because if this woman was angry, she would have told somebody, her friends, colleagues, you know, letters, emails, all of that has to be looked at.
Right. You don't take yourself and potentially two of your colleagues out without, you know, some level of emotion, you would think. I have one more interesting little tape here that shows a longer period before impact. And it underscores what you said, which is, you know, there seemed to be plenty of time to assess the situation, see there was a potential collision opportunity or collision risk, and take evasive action. You can see the helicopter there, and here comes the aircraft on approach.
Look at the landing light. Look at that big white light.
Right. And that would have been at least partially toward the helicopter early. And now you can see the plane has turned toward the runway mm-hmm. and is lining up on the runway. And yet the helicopter keeps going toward it.
Yeah.
So you can see as we get into this, we don't have time, I guess, for it today, but there are patterns, as you say, on tracking software that will show the actual flight path of the two aircraft. And before the plane begins to turn, or earlier in the turn as it's turning toward the runway, lining up, it seems to be situated such that its landing lights would have been darn visible to somebody in a helicopter in front of it, or at that point in front of it. So seemingly lots more to learn here.
We got a lot of feelers out to a lot of people. We're going to dig into the tracking, we're going to dig into some of the operational aspects of the unit and we have contacts all over DOD and we're going to explore this. You know, as a helicopter crew member, one of the things you're taught from day one is to keep your head on a swivel, even if you're a flight engineer in the back. Part of his job, he's on a radio with the pilot, is to constantly scan for obstacles or threats, whether they be civilian airliners or missile, and to let the pilot know, kind of be another set of eyes in the back for the pilot. So you had another pilot and a crew chief on board, and they would have been doing the same thing. So so even if it wasn't a head-on light for the helicopter as far as the landing light, a landing light is a big, bright light, usually maybe on the gear that comes down that illuminates the landing field for the landing aircraft, which have been the jetliner. And that thing lights up the sky. And even if the helicopter wasn't directly, in view of that light, the crew chief in the side would have been looking on either side of the aircraft and would have seen that and would have given directions to brake to the pilot. So we want to really, really look into this and see what happened and see if there's any, these aircraft have radios, they're communicating back with their operations. What were they telling their operations? There's a lot to go into this. And we're going to dig in and find out what we can. And we'll let you know as we get more information. So with that, Bill, you got anything else on this particular story?
Not on DC, but we have some on the Philly crash, which occurred a very short time later. I believe it was within 36 hours?
Yeah. Let's pay a bill real quick. Okay. David Cross, big supporter of CDM, big supporter of the Georgia Record. He's a sponsor of the show. He's running for head of the GOP. And we want to run an ad from him. And he's a financial guy. If you have issues with your portfolio, he's the guy to talk to.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
I'm going to flip it back to you, Bill, and let you talk about...
Okay, well, come on in wherever you see. So the little more than, I think it was 36 hours later, there's a second crash. With different yet also sort of confounding data now beginning to emerge. And we'll take you through some of the facts that we know. It is said to have been this plane, a Mexican registered, essentially air ambulance. It was said, it is reported to have been leaving Philadelphia on way to Missouri, carrying a child passenger and a total of six souls on board. Here's another view of it in air. So this is the aftermath on the ground. We're going to show you the actual crash here in just a second. It can be disturbing to some, but we believe it's important to see. So let's before we get too far into the aftermath, let's look at the actual impact. This is from a dash cam that happened to be pointing apparently directly up the street at the time of the crash. You can actually see what appears to be something coming from the upper right and landing or crashing into the middle of the street. We're going to show this to you again in just a moment. Notice there's a fireball on impact, and you know, we're far enough away where people weren't reacting to it by jumping out of their cars and so forth, but you can actually see it come down. We're going to play this one more time. Look up just above the street lights to the right, and you'll actually see a little pinpoint of light that appears to be whatever is coming down. And there's the impact. There's another vantage point that appears to be someone that's off in the neighborhoods or the area over to the right of where this photo, or this video was taken. We're going to show that next. I'll go ahead and mute it. That's captured just at impact. Again, large fireball. There doesn't appear to be, at least immediately, there doesn't appear to be aftermath fires. And this may be in the parking lot of the what they're referring loosely to as the mall next to where it crashed. Let's go back to the aftermath photos for a minute. So here's the street. Here is the entire street, and I believe the mall that they're referring to is over in this area to the right. You may not be able to see my cursor, but it's to the right of this photo, beyond the sidewalk that's next to the street. There are a couple of pieces of debris left over. This appears to be an area of the side of the fuselage where one of the doors is located. There's another piece that I don't happen to have available for this telecast that has a piece of what appears to be the engine cowling with the designator XAUCI on it. That's in a different deck at the moment. Here is what is purported to be the impact. The top piece of this is the impact crater, if you will, of the plane. And you can see the apparent direction of impact and so forth. There are some questions about the characteristic of this. We're probably too early for us to certainly to speculate on what those findings may ultimately be, but this may not be fully consistent with what people would expect to see following a Learjet type of crash. It did appear to be coming down very steeply, but there are folks stepping forward saying this appears to have some differences in characteristic than what we might expect. The plane had been in the air for a relatively short period of time. I believe the current number is it was in the air for about 35 seconds and had reached an altitude of only about 1,600 feet. We get the chance to look up the stats on the Learjet 55 prior to the telecast. Even at 39,000 feet, its top speed is 540 to 560 miles per hour. So this would have been significantly less than that. This was only about 30 seconds after or 40 seconds after takeoff. And it also begs the question, what happened that would have made it nose in that fashion so soon after takeoff? It really should have still been, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it still should have been on climb mode, shouldn't it, Todd?
Well, yeah, and it doesn't look like they were trying to, you know, there doesn't look like there was any ability to save the aircraft. If that was an aircraft, you know, you would be trying to find if you lost an engine, for instance, you try to find a field to land in. So you would still be flying. The thing with airplanes versus helicopters, if the airplane engine quits, you're still flying. So, right. I mean, with a helicopter, you have to auto-rotate immediately. But with a plane, you have some time to look around. You know, it's like the guy that hit the birds taken off from in New York and landed in the Hudson. He had time to maneuver to a spot, but that looks like some kind of catastrophic event, which, you know, turned it into something else besides a plane trying to land, if it was a plane. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's very weird.
Yeah, the other characteristic that people are questioning, and again, we're not going to draw any conclusions today, but the fact that there doesn't appear to be running lights on the thing that you see coming down out of the sky. There seems to be a constant pinpoint of light, but people aren't pointing to running lights. Now, on the helicopter in our previous shot that we showed in DC, you could actually see the helicopter running lights, yeah? They appear to be on. You can see them flashing. This one, people are noting what appears to be an absence of running light. So we don't know. They also note the speed of approach to or speed of dive into the ground. So, you know, it's another one of these things that the pieces don't seem to fit. And so we have to question it. We'll take that back out. So a couple more looks at the aftermath of the impact. That happens to be, there's the mall sign. And this is about halfway up that street that we showed you earlier. Another look at the impact. So we will likely be hearing more about this in the coming days. Again, six people are said to have been on the plane, including a child who was being transported. And again, the plane was registered in Mexico. We're not sure why an air ambulance from Mexico was operating out of Philly, but there it was. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to stay on this story as well. There's been a lot of inconsistencies from Lahaina to the LA fire to the Las Vegas shootings to a lot of just unexplained events one after the other. And this, unfortunately, seems to be right in that mode. So we'll stay on these stories as more comes out.
We knew, we said as the election got over, we're not done yet, but we may not have known just quite how much we were pushing for. One of the discussions that's emerged out of really both of these crashes, but especially the first one when Trump made comments about DEI, bear with me for a second. He focused on DEI being some factor to consider in all of this. And so we had Colonel Rob
Manis
on Output. And we talked about the fact that the FAA administrator was being questioned during the Senate confirmation hearing and seemed to be sort of questioning the very basics about running the FAA and what the standards were and so forth. We thought we'd share that because that did seem to be a source of both confusion and a little bit of levity because it was so telling. Now, luckily, we're moving beyond that now with the Trump administration. But are some of these concerns and some of the close calls we've heard about in past months due to folks being in charge in some cases that may not perhaps be, proper to be in charge? Mm-hmm. Let's just take a look at a minute or two of this this hearing.
Can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So that's a pretty important part. Mm-hmm. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay. So what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
But obviously you'd ever see the Federal Aviation Administration, so... Any idea what those restrictions are under basic med, quickly?
Well, some of the restrictions I think would be high blood pressure. Some of them would be...
It's more like how many passengers per airplane, how many pounds in different categories, and what altitude you can fly under. So, and then amount of knots, it's under 250 knots. So it's not having anything to do with blood pressure.
Sort of a whack-a-mole kind of questioning on that one. This person was, I believe he ended up being confirmed for at least a period of time. These are the kind of questions that have to be posed in order to understand, well, how did things get in the shape in some agencies that they appear to be in now?
That's quite obvious how it got there.
Jeez. Oh, yeah. So the... in the past, 3 days, and we reported last weekend on the amount of process and the amount of executive orders and change that Trump had been orchestrating, it continues. And most recently, this morning, and let's see if I can get the right one here. Let's see. This came out just this morning, and Trump is calling out that we spend billions of dollars to subsidize Canada. And yet he just got through having to and enable in order 25% tariffs on many of the goods coming from both Mexico and Canada. And so the question becomes, well, are they better off, you know, having to face those tariffs, or would they better off being a cherished 51st state, quote unquote, much lower taxes, far better military protection, and so forth? It does pose the question, which would be better for the people of Canada? Does not seem to be self-serving to the U.S. necessarily, because we're in position now to make 25% off everything they're bringing into the country, but perhaps the Canadians would be better off with that.
You know what I think this is, Bill? This is reduction of Chinese and other foreign influence, Iranian influence in North America. That seems to be my gut feel. He wants to, you know, bring that failed country and infiltrated country under an umbrella which could deal with the problems which they're obviously not dealing with right now. And that impacts us on our northern border big time.
As well it should. The interesting part is Mexico is similar, as you say. It's facilitating the introduction of illegal immigrants, but it's also facilitating the entry of illegal drugs, opioids, but most importantly, fentanyl. And fentanyl is flowing, as you say, ultimately from China, but it's coming through Mexico in lots of cases, and is responsible for the death of hundreds of thousands every year. So it would seem to be, you know, one of the ways to squash that is to get control of the area that's been poorly or mismanaged, or however you want to say it.
Yeah. That's going to be a big chunk to bite off, you know, bringing in Canada, much more than Greenland. I think Greenland will be relatively easy, but Canada is going to be a problem. But think about that. You know, I was in Alaska for 3 years, and you have that Canadian-Alaskan border, but you remove that border and make that all U.S. territory. I mean, that just opens up all kind of interesting possibilities economically, for sure. You're talking railroads, pipelines, all kind of stuff, natural resources, people.
Imagine all the regulations that you can do away with if you're dealing with a state versus another country when it comes to energy, transportation, natural resources, all kinds of things. So that's interesting. Additionally, well, here's the announcement where he came out yesterday and announced that he had implemented that 25% tariff on imports from Mexico and Canada, and then 10% on Canadian energy, and then an additional 10% tariff on China. And this is right in line with what he campaigned on, what he talked about, and literally what people voted for, and so including the popular vote. And so he correctly calls out, you know, people overwhelmingly voted in favor of these things, and we're doing them. So it's causing a flurry of reaction, but maybe that's a good thing. One of the things that we've seen is here in Georgia, the moves that he has made regarding deportation is causing some folks to react negatively, yet you have to wonder, you know, is this their real feeling, or have they not thought it through, or are they being in some way guided into, oh, this is a bad thing? And we don't quite know. But here's right here in Georgia, there were folks that came out and marched along Buford Highway to call out the deportation, if you will. This one doesn't happen to have sound with it, but you can see that Buford Highway is largely jammed shut by this. And it was no small protest. Yet you wonder,
facial recognition on all those videos. Send it to ICE.
Well, you know, they're calling out ICE. They're calling out, you know, they're calling for many of the same things that Americans do. You know, they want it to be the land of the free and such. Yet they don't seem to be thinking through what we have heard and reported on the impact of many of these criminals coming in from out of the country. So, for example, when you do study on Tren de Aragua, one of the prison-based gangs that's made it now into the U.S., their work down in South America has largely impacted certainly the Latin communities, and they've infiltrated and taken over certain things down in a number of the countries in northern South America. They seem to be doing the same things in Latin communities up here in the States, according to reports that we've received from a number, including J.J. Carroll, who's done years of work on this and reported the immigrant and criminal immigrant problem some months ago right here on CDM. And so in asking him during that interview, you know, who are the people that are most impacted? And we heard this from Aurora. It's largely the Latin community. And they're held in some ways, you could say they're being held to account to these members of these gangs because they're known. They know who was in the various areas and so forth. And so we hope that, you know, one, this will continue to be peaceful as it should. But hopefully over time, people will realize that things are getting better with criminals, especially out of the mix. And
well, you know, someone should tell them that holding the flag of a foreign nation and over the American sovereignty is probably not a good look if you're trying to like engender sympathy here in the U.S. for your position.
It does not present a good optic, certainly. If you're trying to say, hey, we worry about the country we're in as well, then you should show that, I would think. But we will see how that plays out.
Let me pay some more bills here real quick. Sure. I want to talk about the wellness company. So twc.health/CDM for our audio audience. You can use promo code CDM, get 10% off. Two issues. One, do you have somebody who's vaccinated? This is the ultimate spike detox. There's a lot of problems with vaccines, autoimmune disease, turbo cancers, heart issues. You all know about it. It's out there. It's no longer a secret. All the information is coming out. It was developed in a lab. It's a bioweapon. How can you protect somebody you love, even if they haven't, you know, become red-pilled, if you will, on the vax issue? Get them this and say, look, I love you. Just take this once a day for 6 to 8 months, the ultimate spike detox to get rid of the spike protein, which is a toxin the vaccine makes your body create forever, or at least for a period of time, with the mRNA instructions that are in the bottle. So go to the wellness company and check that out. But also, these people in, where was that crash? In Philadelphia? They didn't
expect the second was in Philly.
They didn't expect something to come down like that driving to the mall. So you need to be prepared. You may not have access to medical devices or medical treatment or medical supplies. The wellness company can pre-prepare you. This is the contagion kit for some type of SARS virus. This is the emergency travel kit. You have drugs in here, antibiotics, things for ticks and other bioweapon possibilities, Lyme disease, etc. All of that's there, and you can get online. Something happens, the pharmacy's closed, you're locked down in your house, or some kind of crime scare. You can go online with the wellness company, talk to them, and so they'll tell you, bring out this bottle and take this for your condition. So you have it in your house. That's preparation medically. We talk about financial, food, everything, resilience, medical resilience. Talk about or take a look at the wellness company. Go to twc.health/CDM. Use promo code CDM and check out what they have to offer. They're revolutionizing healthcare, and it's really important and a great sponsor of ours, and you're supporting free media. So take care of your family. All right, Bill, let's move on to the next story.
Okay, so here in Georgia, something interesting is going on, and this is going to be one of these things where you need to pay attention to learn the players, but once you do, the picture begins to clarify. You'll recall that Governor Kemp went to the Davos meeting of the World Economic Foundation just about a week and a half ago, the 22nd through 24th. Same thing that Trump addressed via video conference and basically told him the way the cow ate the cabbage. So Governor Kemp left Davos, the globalistas, if you will, went to Poland for a day or two, and then he's back here in Georgia. And all of a sudden, he's at the front end of a major initiative. And you would think that given what people said here in Georgia were their key concerns through last year, things like inflation, things like, you know, immigration or illegal immigration, education, proper education for their kids, not DEI-based stuff and so forth, you would think that he'd be on one of those tracks. However, he's not. He's on something completely different. It's called tort reform. What is tort reform? Well, he announced it, announced the initiative in the atrium of the Capitol this past few days. And boy, did he have a good turnout. I am told that just about every friend and family of staff anywhere in the Capitol made it there to be able to listen to his address.
They got the memo, huh?
They did indeed, is what I am told. And very few public, some, you know, certainly some of the mainstream media, as you would expect. But, you know, this is not a grassroots initiative, tort reform. So he speaks about it. And one of the things that you can see, and there's actually a very interesting video that's come out regarding how PSYOPs are put together. And one of them is, watch for a lot of things happening all at one time from multiple areas, multiple players, and see how they line up. And you can see one of these things coming together. Let's listen to some of his comments on why tort reform is his current focus.
Coming days will be comprehensive but fair. Because in Georgia, we believe those who do wrong should be held accountable. And if you have been wrong, you deserve justice. We will do what is right by the people of our state. We will be fair to all involved in this important debate. And we will work together to pass legislation that strikes the right balance and puts hardworking Georgians first. But also want to be very clear. There's always room for compromise, but there will be no room for excuses, half measures, or failure. Whether it is this legislative session or perhaps a second one later this year, we will achieve meaningful, impactful tort reform.
Okay. So we're going to play that again in just a minute. I want you to watch two things. You'll see John Burns down in the lower right-hand corner as Trump, Kemp is speaking. And listen to what he says. He says, we're going to do this. But make no mistake, or be very clear. And he says either this session or a second one later this year. What he's referring to is a potential for a second special session. What was requested by Colton Moore when the Fannie Willis debacle started? A special session. What was requested after the 2020 election to take a look at the anomalies, the problems in the Georgia election? A special session. Wouldn't call him then, but all of a sudden he potentially will call one for tort reform of all things. So
it has nothing to do with RFK getting confirmed and going after pharma or any lawsuits going on. It has nothing to do with that, Bill. Don't worry
about it. You're jumping into the answer pile. So
sorry.
That's okay, but you're right on target. Watch Burns' face as he says what might happen here.
So I want to be very clear. There's always room for compromise, but there will be no room for excuses, half measures, or failure. Whether it is this legislative session or perhaps a second one later this year, we will achieve meaningful, impactful tort reform.
What a smirk on that guy's face.
Yeah.
You know, well we'll see if that
he
smirk
knows
stays.
What's gonna happen already. Yeah.
We'll see if that smirk stays there. So, let's take a look at what else was going on. Right after this announcement, all of a sudden, you see a number of things online supporting this same position. Oh, by gosh, you know, people in Georgia are in jeopardy if we don't get tort reform done. We got to go after this. And it's being pushed by a number of people, including Senator Kennedy right here in Georgia that weighs in on it, along with Kemp, obviously a Kemp supporter. But from this organization, Protecting American Consumers Together. Boy, doesn't that sound fun? Doesn't that sound like people that are worried about the folks, you know, you and I and the rest of the folks here in Georgia? So let's see who this organization is. Protecting American Consumers Together. The leader in their leadership tab is one Lauren Zell. Well, who is Lauren Zell? Or Zelt? I've never heard of her before. Well, she's a PR person. She has run a PR company, And she's also a dive master down in Key Largo, Florida. So not sure there's a connection there to, you know, to tort reform. Notice she does. She did graduate from Georgetown University, where a lot of the folks in Washington and that follow the Washington crowd seem to have come from. Second in her group is Tim Kapowski. Where's Tim come from? 30 years in the insurance defense business. He's an attorney. Mm-hmm. Insurance defense. That doesn't sound like consumers. That sounds like defending the insurance companies. Who are the other folks? Paul Renner. Paul's been the speaker of the House of Representatives down in Florida, another state which has, as we've reported extensively, issues in a number of different areas, including election. He's been running and the House of Representatives.
Insurance crisis in Florida also.
Yep. And then Jessica Schmore, who has 20 years of experience in the healthcare business. So from that, all you have to do is know who's pushing this to know what the agenda is. What are they trying to prevent? They're trying to prevent lawsuits against insurance companies on behalf of, at least in part, medical issues. Mm-hmm. Why would that be an issue right now? Well, as you said, who's been talking about the potential for diseases and conditions which are now emerging to be the basis of potential lawsuits against those who forced these things? We've reported, along with the McCullough Foundation and others, the unbelievable rise in a number of conditions, including cardiac arrest and sudden death. And you can see a list of conditions over here to the left. All kinds of pulmonary related things, other types of medical conditions, clots, strokes, all kinds of things. Now they're talking about mental conditions that are being created or exacerbated by the remnants of the vaccines, the spike proteins that are left behind. So as you said, one of the other considerations here is RFK has said this is one of his agenda points. He wants to get rid of immunity. If he does that, guess who's going to be the target of a bunch of lawsuits if they did wrongfully put out things that are harming people?
I think we should do an AI video of Kim's speech, but replace it with Klaus Schwab's voice. You know, like, we will not let the Georgians be harmed by the medical problems. You know, it's obvious where this came from. He was just at Davos, right?
Yes, he leaves Davos, and 1 week late, well, a week and a half later, all of a sudden, this is his major initiative. Mm-hmm. Well, I am here to tell you that this is not going to go without public scrutiny. There's lots to dig out underneath this, but when we begin to, and we and others begin to make it clear what these conditions are, people are not going to want immunity or the tort reform that limits what folks can go after if they've been harmed, or in fact people have died because of things that have been done. This notion of immunity, by the way, is not unknown here in Georgia. Many people will remember HB 520, sponsored by Todd Jones. Going back a year and a half, I think. And within 520, this was one of the clauses that was included in that bill. It did not pass in its form at that time, luckily. But it was proposed this way by Todd Jones and the other people that you see there. Any entity that contracts with the board pursuant to this code, meaning this bill, shall be immune from any liability, civil or criminal, that might otherwise be incurred or imposed. And then it goes on.
Well, you know, one of the things that's going to come out with Fauci and others is the decades of nefarious, I would say, criminal activity from the AIDS crisis on up as to what's been going on behind the scenes that nobody really understood. And this is going to be a fascinating, eye-opening disclosure over the next year, I think.
I agree with you. I think this entire dynamic is, once you look at it, you look at the timing, you look at the players involved, you look at the agenda, you look at what was already tried, and you can see the, you know, the Globalista's fingerprints all over this thing. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, we're not going to let this go, and I guarantee you others will not let this discussion go without massive scrutiny. And, you know, make no mistake, folks are going to know what this bill means and what it means to them before we're done.
Well, things have
changed.
Whether
we do it in this session or if we have to do it during a second session later this year.
Things have changed in the media landscape, right? I mean, people are aware, and they're, we have a network of, if it's not just us, there's a network of people we work with that we can get information out through. And all of this is going to come out. I mean, you can't play whack-a-mole and squash us all. So you can have some success here or there, but you're not going to stop the message, just like what happened in the last 4 years. So you're right. This information is going to get out no matter what.
That's right. We're lucky enough here in Georgia to have a lot of folks, a lot of patriots, a lot of activists, a lot of truth tellers, and this is going to be known. Okay, so let's move on. Let's move from a tough subject to maybe something that's potentially a bit better.
Mind if I pay a bill real quick?
No, please do.
One of the things we're talking about is health and make America healthy again. Go to cdmstore.net and check out the merch. This shirt is flying off the shelves. Very popular. Make America healthy again for our audio audience. cdmstore.net. So check that out. But also our new product, which we have, Nucleo Boost, which we developed with John B. Wells down in Texas for Caravan to Midnight. I want to play this ad and then we'll talk about it briefly afterwards.
Watching my friends gain more and more weight. And then eventually, I got to tell you, this is a little dark, but a bad diet literally killed my whole crew.
Wow.
Diabetes, a stroke. I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's like, you had a stroke? You're not even 50 years old. You guys got to quit eating this stuff. Your body knows what's what. You're not conscious of this. But that's why people will go to the refrigerator and they'll grab this and that and the other and put together this outrageously elaborate combination of foods. Your body's trying to reach balance. Unbeknownst to us, our bodies are always trying to reach homeostasis. You can't eat all of this stuff and expect to live a long time. And one thing led to another, and I went, you know, forget this, we're going to make our own product. So we partnered with one of the world's top three biochemists where nutrition specific study is concerned. I said, all I want is the best nutritional and immune support product in the world. So we mix it in yogurt. It's a powder. I got a bag of it here. I keep one on the console all the time, you know, just so I can show people.
Yeah.
And it's a powder. Now, this is not candy. This is hardcore nutrition. And sugar is an enemy. And most people do not know that the reason these bellies are showing up on people all over the place, your body makes fat to store the toxins it can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. So it just puts them over here. But I can tell you this. You take this for 30 days and then lay off of it for 2 or 3 days, and you'll go, good grief, give me some more. Skin, nails, hair growing back. Cut yourself and it heals in half the time.
So I've been on the road for almost 2 or 3 weeks now, and I'm almost out of my Nucleo Boost. It's almost empty. I got to get a new pouch, but I tell you, the stamina this stuff gives us, we're a high-speed organization here. We're up all night, and it's been really helpful. So cdmnutrition.com, cdmnutrition.com for our audio audience. Check it out and get all the building blocks you need to stay healthy. All right, Bill, back to you.
That sounds great. So as we just got through covering a tough subject, one that's going to require more scrutiny, more work in the coming weeks and months, we also want to take advantage of giving folks credit for what appears to be movement in the right direction. We've talked in the past about how important we believe DOGE is going to be for the federal government and the efficiency and moving us toward the golden age again of America, as Trump has foretold. Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones has announced that they're building on a bill started in the last session and putting the umbrella of Doge over it, if you will. Now, like everything else, the, you know, the proof is in the pudding on these things. But he does say that the intent is to force state agencies to justify rules and regulations, take care of compliance burdens, reduce those on small businesses, take a look at any impact, economic impact of any major new rules, and give legislators the power to request small business impact analysis. The you could make the argument that I think they had that last piece in the past, but it's all in how this is implemented. If it's implemented with true intent and aimed at doing the right things, we hope that this will have a very beneficial effect here in Georgia. And we do give the Lieutenant Governor credit for bringing it forward. There's a piece that he did with another outlet in the last few days, and it's short, and I just wanted to play that. And we hope that Lieutenant Governor Jones will take the opportunity to join us for a short discussion of what's in this, what he hopes it will do for the state, and what will be the ultimate outcome for Georgians as it's implemented.
The Red Tape Rollback Act of 2025, hoping to build on the work you've already done in 2024. What changes are you hoping to see by bringing Doge to Georgia?
Well, last year we introduced what we called the Red Tape Rollback, which would alleviate a lot of useless regulations and things that just cost businesses money, particularly small businesses, money and time. And thankfully, the president and his new administration has given it a good name and Department of Government Efficiency. And so we kind of trademarked the name and bringing it forward again. We passed it out of the Senate last year, it stalled in the House, but we fully anticipate getting it done this year. It's a great idea, it's good policy, and I'm glad that the President Trump is doing it at the federal level as well.
So like everything, we hope that this is what it appears to be and is being advertised as. And we'd like to hear more from Lieutenant Governor on the details, the timing, and the effects that he hopes to create with it.
Yeah, look forward to that. That should be, we'll stay on that story. We've got a lot to cover. Bill, the work continues.
It does. So in the coming days, a few things to look at. We are now 5 days away from the delivery date, if you will, of the plan to release the remaining records and documents associated with the JFK assassination. We played on Wednesday's show, we played an excerpt from Roger Stone in discussion with Alex Jones, saying that when Trump was in his first administration, he had released 80% of the remaining documents, leaving 20% now left to go. So we hope that that means that with some analysis and some help from other good experts around the country, we can come to an understanding of what's in there. I do expect that it's going to be critically important, in some ways devastating to people's psyche when they find out just how many parties, which entities were involved in such. And I think that explains why it's been hidden for 62 years. Following that, we're going to have a month's pause, and then on March 4th, the same plan and the planned release of RFK's remaining documents and MLK's remaining documents will be implemented. Whether those come out instantly or whether they come out following March 4th, we don't yet know. And if we if the past couple of weeks are any indication, we bet we'll see some more from the White House and Trump's movement and moving the country toward the golden age very quickly this week.
It's amazing how his truths on Truth Social are so revealing if you read between the lines. So you really kind of have to watch what he's saying, and he'll tell you what's going on. Not in so many words, but you can get it.
Every time you listen to him, you'll hear, I find one or two phrases, one or two things he says that seem to be more than what normal conversation would have. Like the other day when he came away from North Carolina, he says, "Well, I'm not going to say what we think, but you know, looks looks like it got hit by something. And I won't say what.
Yeah. Well, Bill, we're running out of time. Where can people follow you?
Well, on Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. We will keep up with the news here in Georgia. On of course, our show here on Sunday afternoons at 2 and on Wednesday evenings at 7, the Georgia Show. And you'll find that link those days on the front of the Georgia Record if you have trouble finding it. And we're also on, of course, CDM1 channel in Rumble. And then I often post my most poignant comments on Insist on Truth on X. So when the deep state globalistas need a kick in the behind, well, that's where we'll put it.
And I am on at Real L. Todd Wood on X, but go to ltoddwood.com. Check out my first novel that's been re-released, Currency. People say I stayed up all night to read it, and it should be a movie. So if you love historical fiction, still extremely relevant. There's over 500 reviews on Amazon, almost 5 stars, like 4.6, 4.7, something like that. So proud of that. The follow-on will be coming, Sugar, which was the second novel, and then the third and fourth in the series as well. So, and we're writing a fifth. So a lot going on, but if you love good history and historical fiction tied to today, check it out, Currency at ltoddwood.com. With that, Bill, that's all I got, unless you have anything else.
Nope, we'll see you next time.